guy called Alvin Toffler wrote a book, Demos, which is called Shock of the New. This is a kind of personification of the idea. The old red count in the mountain bar is drunken, a bigot as walked. Faggot, you're a faggot. He frog-mouthed me. I breathe, keening to be free of this stupidity and ignorance. I mean, who really cares about someone else's sexuality? Now, why would you? Surely to discriminate against someone because of their sexuality is to implement the decree, divide and rule. And only a fool would succor the elite thus. Anyway, there's the old red kelp, getting closer to the bottom of his own personal pit. When he fixes me with roomy eye and whimpers, everything's shit. And I can see that for him, it must be. Gone is the Ireland he knew before, miswrapped and ill-defined, good old days of yore. Erin was Diva Leader's promised land where church and state walked hand in hand. Pip swallows kelp, but from its maw I hear an old red cry. I'm not yet dead, I'm still alive, and there's more like me to make bigotry thrive, and we'll praise racism and homophobia on high because we're too frightened of the shock from the new.
Kermagor Rabban has got a hit of a rugby rag. I guess I'm kidding at a Suez and Job, no Lana, no
Lane.
Excuse me. Lane, everybody.
Hey, this is a bit terrifying because I'm not actually a poet, so.
That's okay, there's a lot of other people here, aren't there?
That's what they are doing.
We love that.
So I'm going to read you a little bit of a story, and I've tried to make it as short as I can. I've scribbled out loads of it here so that it will fit in the space. And I can read it. Saoirse is called Fish Tank, by the way. Saoirse cries a lot lately. Not about having a baby. That isn't real. She worries about whether she will get enormously fat and covered in stretch marks. And she cries over silly things like people skipping the queue in front of her at the supermarket. At 4 months, when she sees a sea of swirling blue dots, she has a rush of warm feeling towards the little video blob. The picture zooms in on the head, a tiny skull in negative. Saoirse says, it looks gruesome, and the nurse asks, where's your maternal instinct? But when the nurse says, look at his face and see his tiny hands, she salvages a nugget from the conversation. She thinks, hey, so it's a boy. At her parents' house, at her parents' house, the album is crammed with photographs of her big brother, Joey. Joey asleep in his carry cot. Joey learning to crawl on a rug in the back garden. Joey, with all the grown-ups gathered round adoringly. Where are my baby photos, she asks. Look, you're in that one, aren't you? And that? Her mother points out bits of Saoirse behind or beside a two-year-old Joey and goes back to her ironing. But don't you have any proper baby photos of me? Like this one. She flips to the large print of Joey from before she was born. The one with the tracing paper over it to keep the colours from fading. Oh, I don't know. Try looking in the garage. In the paint-splattered dresser where Saoirse's father hoards screwdrivers, pliers, nuts and bolts, one drawer is stuffed with paper folders filled with prints and negatives. Saoirse finds images of herself and Joey as ghostly toddlers playing beneath black skies on eerie West Cork beaches. The faces are hard to make out in negative, muddy and underwater, like the baby's head in a scan. The prints are clearer, but they are rare and lopsided, the left-behind pictures. In faded Instagram colours, they show Saoirse obediently smiling for the camera. A serious, grown-up child, a child who's trying too hard to please. Meanwhile, Joey instinctively pleases only himself. He runs away from the camera, bored, his hair blowing over his eyes. Saoirse and TJ go on holiday and try to forget. They eat romantic dinners at Riverside Tavernas and ask strangers to photograph the two of them, like this is the last time they'll be together. Each night on the way back to the hotel, they stop on the bridge and watch the evening lights, reflected in the warm, soapy water. TJ photographs Saoirse on the beach, her belly rounding out her swimsuit. She writes a postcard. Dear Mum and Dad, having a lovely time. Weather great. By the way, baby due September. She passes the card to TJ, who scribbles in the small gap she has left. TJ, probable father. That night, TJ wakes up in a sweat. Saoirse asks if he's okay. I'm fine. Just had a dream about the baby, that's all. Saoirse asks what happened. Somehow it got up on the roof, he says. And I was scared it would try to fly down. Why would it do a thing like that? It's so stupid, he says. It likes the idea of floating on air. I tried to rescue it, but I couldn't find a ladder. So then what? He blinks at her. Well, that's when I woke up. Saoirse's not sure she believes him. She asks, how did the baby get up on the roof in the first place? Oh, I don't know. You left it there, probably. The sea is dead glassy as the plane drops over the English coast. There's been a major heatwave in their absence, and the city streets are sticky as an ice lolly wrapper. The faces on the tube train look tired and grumpy, and Saoirse tastes the salt on her face before she even realises she's crying. She didn't mean to. She was only thinking how long it will be before she sees the sea again. As they unlock the door of their flat, the telephone rings. It's Saoirse's mum. She's had the postcard, and she wants to know when TJ and Saoirse will be getting married. Finally, Saoirse gets her off the phone. I knew I shouldn't have told her, she says. At least I gave her a fake due date, so we'll have a few days' peace. You what? TJ is theoretically on closer terms with his mother, who lives a very long way away, Australia, in fact. He sees her every 5 years, and they talk on the phone on Christmas Day. He has to call her in the morning. If he calls in the evening, it will already be Boxing Day. He hasn't told her about the baby yet. Saoirse's mother rings back later, sounding tearful. She's been thinking, with Joey taking so long to come out of his gay phase, perhaps a baby in the family isn't such bad news after all. Saoirse hands the phone to TJ and goes to bed. We'll have to get a Game Boy before it hits school, TJ says. Saoirse is not convinced he's thinking of the baby. Nice of you to take an interest, but I'm not so sure a Game Boy's a good idea, especially for a boy. Come on, you wanted to be socially inept like all the other kids, don't you? TJ asks. I mean, you know how important conformity is at that age. A conciliatory parcel arrives from Ireland. A letter in familiar handwriting. I expect you've got loads of baby things by now. When Joey was born, I had enough for at least two babies. In fact, they have bought nothing for the baby yet. It seems odd buying clothes for someone you've never met. What if they don't fit? In the parcel is a one-piece suit and a teddy bear with a teddy bear motif. Saoirse holds it up to her tummy. It's huge! The baby can't possibly be that big, she decides. How the hell would it get out? She puts it in a drawer and tries to think about something else. I'm getting a haircut before the baby comes, she tells TJ, the week of her due date. He asks why. It mightn't be practical wearing my hair this long. Why not? You know, the baby might put. TJ's watching a rerun of The X-Files. He waits until an ad break comes up before saying, look, if the baby pulls your hair, you should tell it to fuck off and move out. She laughs. You can't do that to a baby. Imagine what you'd do to me if I pulled your hair. A bit more, actually. Imagine what you'd do to me if I pulled your hair. Why should it get special treatment? When Saoirse wakes up in hospital and looks at the fish tank, she's convinced the baby's being switched. It was meant to be a boy. They said, when I had the scan, TJ yawns, scans are not definitive. What do you know, TJ? That baby looks nothing like us. I should hope not. It's like something off Star Trek or Doctor Who. Anyhow, I was here while you were sleeping. Nobody switched it. We're stuck with this one. They don't do refunds. He scoops the baby out of the tank and passes it to her. The baby stares at them and wiggles its fingers.
Yahoo! All right, I'm going to initiate Corky Potter of Worldy, Oregon.
Okay, so a few of us were over at the MA art students, the art and process, where they asked us to come along and have a kind of a dialogue with the work. So I got a poem out of it, so I'll share it with you. Okay, it doesn't have a title. If we could sculpt silence, essence, present absence, surround shadows with white, their emptiness visualized, imprinted on ether. If we could fill out, fill in an idea, a question in color, let pigment melt, feel the weight of itself, softly crumple around space until we submerge with material, physical, visceral things like clay or icing sugar, paint with light, water wet on grey, or sweep mop strokes of calm foot rocking over reflections on a world behind light. We would know that clay over clay cracks, that we write our own testaments, would know it like skin. Thank you.
So I just got instructed there is only time for one more person.
Is there?
Yeah. So there's actually 7 people on the list, right?
I don't mind if you could cross me off now.
Okay. That's 6 people on the list.
Who thinks they have the best piece?
who thinks they're actually
genuinely?
Who thinks they're
strong? On this far, Sushorma, Shasu is finish. I could say, okay, bye bye, get bye.
Bye bye.
Not usually that confident. I actually, I don't know really what to do.
Well, Frankie was to have to say his poem tonight. He's written 28.
So, I have one that I wrote a while back called There's No Point in Running Away. I always felt like I was doing something wrong. If they weren't making fun of my image, it was one of my songs. Everywhere I went, they put me down and I was feeling lost like a lonely clown. But then I realised, to my surprise, from the ruins of the ashes I will rise. I gained a bit of depth being on the outside most of my life, because it made me wise. I watched life, I never participated, it gave me real eyes, so I don't hate it. Why run away when something isn't working? Because if you run away, you'll still be hurting. So just adapt, man, and try to learn something. I straightened out my head, none of this will matter when I go to my eternal bed. So find the bliss, and that's why I want to embrace the love instead. We're all scared to death, because we're all scared to death. So now I never forget that life's too short to have no regret, and life's too short to have no respect for the greatness that each human being can possess. So find your happiness and find your niche. Material things will never make you feel complete. They never bring you inner peace. And when you deal with ego, man, there's way too much heat. I was a young man with one goal, to find my identity. And I found it in music, because it touches my soul. We're not who we assume we are, we're just actors playing a role. Right now, I'm the rapper fella on the door, having a blast of all tunes about emotional past. So what I'm all about now is spitting the truth from my culture mouth. I'm going strong with analytical glasses on. I get to know myself until I can't see what's wrong. I wake up one day, that sense of loss is gone, because I found my inner peace, I found my inner niche, I found the reason I can walk proudly on the street, and I found the reason to rap proudly to the beat. I found the reason to have the rhythm I have on my feet. I found the reason to stand proud in the crowd. I found the reason to live my life out loud. I found a reason to deal with my emotions. I found the reason to look past all the commotion. I found the reason to be deep like the ocean. I found desire for the joy to be outspoken. I found the reason to keep my mind open. I found the reason to keep my heart golden. I found the reason to keep my word as a token. I found the reason to see life as a blessing. I found the reason to see life as a lesson. I found the reason to never second guess. I found the reason to love all people. I found the reason to understand evil. I found the reason never to get scared. I found the reason for me to act hard. I found the reason for liberty. I found the reason for liberty. I found the reason for liberty, I found the reason to just be me.